Hello, and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast is number 786. The topic is Q&A, and the title is Powerlifting for Fat Loss Program. So a listener chimed in with a question. Yay, and thank you very much. I love when the listeners send in questions and ask for topics, because it excites me to know that somebody is listening to the podcast and that someone is finding it helpful and or believes in it to be helpful enough that they would want to request a topic. So it means a lot. It's really exciting, kind of motivating when people send in questions or comments. So if you ever think that, oh, it's going well and, you know, he doesn't need to hear from me. Yes, I do. It does help. It really, truly does. So thank you to everybody who sends in emails or shout outs and things like that on social media. It's just, it feels good to know, like this would be true of anybody, and I am human like everyone else, is it just feels good to know that somebody cares about what you're doing. So yay. Cool. So what this person asked was, essentially they brought up the concept of muscle cardio. If you don't know what that is, we have podcast number 33. So way back in the day, one of the first ones we did was podcast about muscle cardio. If you need the link for that, if it's so old that we can't find the direct link, just shoot us an email at brutalirongym@gmail.com or a shout on our social media channel, on Instagram or Facebook under the same name of Brutal Iron Gym. And we are on Twitter, but I don't sign into Twitter very much, so that would not be the best way to get a hold of me. If you want the direct link for podcast 33, just let us know and we'll send it to you. But what it is essentially when you move, you burn calories. If I move on a piece of cardio, I burn calories. But really, not much else. You know, I get some cardiovascular health, sure, but that would just be like moving, you know, in any other way. It depends on the strain of the movement, depends on whether it's cardiovascular, like, improvement or not. But really, just movement in general is burning calories. Well, if we move through lifting weights, we burn calories, but we also manipulate our muscles. We can manipulate them to be stronger, we can manipulate them to be bigger, we can manipulate them to be a different shape. But if we move, we burn calories. If I move and just do cardio, I only get that, I only get calories. But if I move and lift weights, I get the calories burned plus muscle manipulation. So, it makes more sense that if I'm going to invest a single unit of time towards the goal of making myself look better, why not invest it into something that burns calories, which can help reduce body fat, but also it can help manipulate our muscles? It makes more sense. Why don't people do that? Is because it's just easier to walk on a treadmill and be mindless than it is to lift weights. That's flat out the only reason. So if you disagree with me, it's like, well, I don't know how to lift weights right. Freaking learn. Whatever time you're investing into wasting your time doing just cardio, take a couple days or a couple weeks, learn how to lift weights right. And then you have for the entire rest of your life to use that time more wisely. So, holy crap, wake up. Now, this person brought up the question of, is it true that moving larger muscles would burn more calories than moving smaller muscles? So if I did like a leg workout, is that going to burn more calories than if I did a bicep workout? Yes, it will. Absolutely true. So our muscles use oxygen, they use calories. The more muscles I use, the more oxygen and calories I use. Yes, so that's true. They then said, do compound movements then burn more calories than isolation movements? A compound movement means more than one muscle is involved in the movement. Isolation means you're trying to isolate just one muscle or muscle group involved in the movement. And the answer to that would be true. Yes, that's true. Now, they already knew this, so they were asking them kind of rhetorically to lead into the next part of the statement. But just to make sure the answer is clear, yes, moving large muscle groups burns more calories than smaller ones. And therefore, then yes, compound movements would burn more calories than isolation movements. Now, this would be singular comparison. Now, if I did 20 isolation movements, could that burn more calories than one single compound movement? Sure, if the together group total of isolation movements is greater than the movement or the muscles involved in the compound movement. Yes. Now, I know that we know that, but people ask me these kind of follow-up questions all the time, and it's like, yeah, duh. Congratulations that you found, you know, some way around what we had said before, but no shit is the answer to that. So, yes, no shit. Whichever way you move more muscles burns more calories. So, the next thing we would say they asked was, could you give me an example training cycle that is basically just squat, bench, and deadlift, like powerlifting, all in one workout that would be heavy enough to cause muscle damage and increase strength, but light enough to still burn body fat and lean out? Meaning, if they did squat, bench, and deadlift too light, and they just kind of move through them, they would get a lot of movement, they would get a lot of calories burned, but maybe it'd be so light that they wouldn't really get a lot of muscle manipulation. So if their best squat, or let's say this person's best deadlift, is 700 pounds. Well, if they're doing an exercise where they're just deadlifting 315 for a couple reps, that's not significant enough to them. That's going to be cardio. It's not going to actually cause muscle damage. It's not going to cause increased strength. But if they go in the gym and they're always deadlifting, you know, 85% plus of their max, they can't really do a lot of other movements because they're so damn tired from that heavy lifting that their overall volume is too low and they don't get really good fat loss stimulus. They get good muscle manipulation stimulus, good strength stimulus, but they don't get a good cardiovascular burning calorie stimulus. So how do we find the middle ground? How can I train powerlifting for fat loss? How can I do the main lift, squat, bench, and deadlift, which are typically kind of slow, you do them individual, you get a lot of weight on you, but you don't really have a lot of volume to the workout. This is one of the reasons why a lot of powerlifters have trouble controlling their body weight. Because they're in the gym, they're beating the crap out of themselves, so therefore their body needs sleep and food to recover. But they didn't really move a lot. They moved a heavy thing up and down once or twice, but they didn't move around a lot. So therefore, their physical activity is actually kind of low. What happens is they eat way too much. So they need to have a better control of how many calories in surplus is needed to recover from their training, but how much is too much of a surplus that it can make body fat. So nutrition does need to be controlled for this concept to work correctly. However, the training structure, when done correctly, can also make a significant difference. So that way, even if they're eating mediocrely well, which is not a word, but it gets the point across, it can still be effective and achieve what they want. So I'm going to go ahead and go through that. This is one example that would work well for everyone listening to this podcast. Then you would need to modify this based on your individual needs, exercise selections, time restraints, all that stuff. But this is a structure that everyone listening to this podcast, if you know how to squat, bench, and deadlift, you can use this structure to train powerlifting and achieve fat loss at the same time. Okay? We're going to go with a 3-workout-a-week structure. Could you add a 4th workout? Sure, whatever. You can do little small things if you want to do abs and calves and some other kind of small stuff. But you don't want to do more squats, benches, and deadlifts, because what makes us improve? What makes us better? What makes us stronger, bigger muscles? What makes us leaner? All that stuff is actually achieved out of the gym. In the gym, we are creating the stimulus for change. It is then through our food and sleep that we actually achieve change. Don't spend more time in the gym. Just spend the appropriate time in the gym. If you're going to give more to sleep. Give more to like massage therapy. Give more to your recovery ability. You want to recover first, add volume to your training second. I could spend an entire podcast on that, and most people who just heard me say that won't listen. But it's to your own detriment. Stop trying to do more in the gym and do more outside of the gym. Eat better, sleep better, do self-care, emotional, physical stress, self-care better. Heal from the training before you start to add more training. Okay? Now, the workout structure we have is 3 workouts a week. we're going to focus on one of them being predominantly squat heavy, a second one being predominantly deadlift heavy, a third one being predominantly bench press heavy. We're going to do all three lifts in every single workout, but predominantly the main focus of the first workout is heavy squat. The main focus of the second workout is heavy deadlift. The main focus of the third workout is heavy bench press. Okay? Now, I'm going to read through this, but it's a shit ton of information for you to try to write down. So email us at brutalirongym@gmail.com and I will send you the outline I'm reading from so you can at least see what I'm talking about. It's not a full program, so don't you dare judge me on whether this is what I give my clients. It's not even close. So don't judge me on that, and I'll even tell you an email, don't you dare judge me. Okay? So with my clients, I always send them tutorial links for every single exercise. There's explanations of concepts. There is way more detail, way more detail than what you would see in this outline. But this outline does have the exercise categories, exercise examples, and sets and reps listed. Okay? So if you want it, email us at brutalirongym@gmail.com. Here we go. So in exercise one, the first thing you want to do when you walk through the gym is movement preparation. You want to prepare yourself to move well that day. For some people, if they have a desk job, they're going to be tight in the musculature of the front lower side of the hip. Okay, that's going to be your upper quadriceps. Their glutes, the muscles of the bottom side of the back side of the hip, the bottom back side of the hip are probably going to be inactive and somewhat tight. And then their abs are going to be loose, their lower back's going to be kind of loose. What this means is if we're sitting in a chair and we're kind of slouching, the muscles on the front side of our hip are kind of squished together. The muscles of our hamstrings are pulled tight just by being in a stretched, kind of like weird sitting position. So when you walk into the gym, you might need to do something that stretches the upper quadriceps. You might need to do something that stretches your hamstrings. You might need to do something that stretches or prepares your adductors, your groin muscles. Now, do we always need to stretch? No. Do we need to do some type of muscle manipulation to it? Yes. I was just talking with a client today. We were talking about different ways in which to address muscular issues and tightnesses. And we said that stretching is kind of like looking to increase your available range of motion. Whereas rolling, like foam rolling or scraping with tools like Graston work, is just trying to get the most out of the range of motion you already have. For example, that client had overstretched the front side of their hip that was actually causing hip pain. So they continued to stretch to try to get rid of the stiffness and tightness and pain when actually it was because they were overstretched that it was causing problems. So we stopped stretching and we switched to foam rolling and Graston work, like scraping techniques. And now the pain is lessened, but they can still manipulate small aches and pains or some annoyances day to day rather than always stretching thinking that's helping, but it's actually making it worse. So what your exact movement preparation is, I can't tell you. But I can tell you, don't you dare walk into the gym and just start squatting. Do something that makes you feel like you're kind of warmed up, you're ready to go, you feel like you're moving well. For some people, that's stretching. For some people, that's foam rolling. For some people, that's just, you know, getting on a rower and rowing for 5 minutes. Maybe it's just kind of doing some hip circle work, machine adductor, abductor. Just do something that prepares you for movement. So do not walk in and go right after the biggest, heaviest stuff. Do some type of movement preparation, okay? Then we want to go to a superset of a heavy squat variation and an underloaded deadlift variation. Heavy squat variation simply means a squat variation that's heavy, okay? So just something that is difficult. Our example in today's podcast is just going to be a regular barbell back squat. Maybe you're a powerlifter. Like we said, this is a powerlifting program. So this would be a good time to practice your competition style squat. So that's going to be your choice. For the deadlift, we said we're looking for an underloaded variation. What this means is it's a form of a deadlift. It's related to a deadlift. It's a mechanically similar movement. I'm stealing a term from a different program. I think it's called the fifth set or something like that. But a mechanically similar movement is something that resembles a deadlift. It works the muscles of a deadlift, but it's not a regular deadlift. You want to find a variation that is harder than a regular deadlift, meaning that at a lighter weight load, you can't do as many reps. Our example here is a snatch grip hanging RDL. If you've ever done a snatch grip hanging RDL, they suck. They're hard as shit. And you will not do like a set of, say, five of a snatch grip hanging RDL with the same weight that you can deadlift for a set of five. Ain't gonna happen. So that is an underloaded variation of a deadlift. It's still a deadlift. It's mechanically similar, but you fail at it at a lighter weight than you would normally would with a deadlift, a regular deadlift. So that's going to be the first superset, is barbell competition squats and snatch grip hanging RDLs. That represents a heavy squat and an underloaded deadlift variation. Like I said, it's a lot of information, so don't be, yelling at me that this is too much to write down. Don't write it down, just email us, okay? Then for the heavy squat, what we're going to do reps, sets and reps wise is you're going to do three sets of 3 to 5 reps. You're going to pick a weight that you feel will be maximally difficult somewhere in 3, 4, or 5 reps. You then want to do that as best as you can for a single set. You then consider the second set, can I do more weight or do I need to take weight down to stay within the range of 3 to 5 reps? Excuse me. What you want to do in the second set is make that adjustment. Can I add weight and still stay in 3 to 5 reps, or do I have to reduce weight to stay within 3 to 5 reps? You then do the second set. The third set, you ask yourself the same question. Can I do more weight or do I need less weight? So maybe for the first set, you get 4 or 5 and you only get 3 and you say, shit. I don't know if I'm going to get another 3. So maybe I need to take it from 405 down to 385. You can then get maybe 3 to 4 reps on the second set and 3 to 4 reps on the third set. Or maybe the first set you do 405 and you crank out 5. And you're like, dang, gun, that's awesome. And you're like, well, you know what? I haven't challenged myself recently to go above 405. I'm going to try 425 and maybe I'll only get 3 reps. And then I kind of do it, but I almost damn near die. So maybe the third set, I go back to 405, and I get 4 reps because I'm now fatigued. The idea there is just somewhere within 3 to 5 reps, do 3 sets of very difficult effort. Then you follow with 1 set of 6 to 10 reps. So that's the set and rep scheme for the squat variation, the heavy squat variation. 3 sets of 3 to 5 reps, followed by 1 set of 6 to 10 reps. Now, you're supersetting this with that underloaded deadlift. The sets and reps scheme for the underloaded deadlift is 3 sets of 6 to 8 reps, followed by 1 set of 8 to 12 reps. It's a little bit higher rep range because we're looking to get some muscle damage, and by supersetting these together, with the second one being a higher rep range, you're going to be hella out of breath. So it's going to work as cardio. Okay. Now, all of these, the working sets, have a rest period of 3 to 5 minutes. Don't rest longer than 5 minutes, but take at least 3 minutes to catch your breath. Okay? So, that's what we want to do. That's the first superset. We come into the gym, we prepare ourselves for movement. That should take less than 10 minutes, by the way. Don't take more than 10 minutes. You're then going to go into a heavy squat and an underloaded deadlift variation. You're going to do your 3 heavier sets on the 2 exercises, and then you do the 1 higher rep set. That in total should take you about 25-30 minutes. Then you're going to move over to another superset of a bench overload variation and an upper back exercise, but something that is a light weighted volume, meaning it's an underloaded type of upper back movement. Means it's something that trains your upper back, but you can't use a lot of weight for it. And we'll give you an example here in a second. So again, muscle, the movement preparation should be 10 minutes. First superset should take about 25 to 30 minutes. And this would be as if you're not wasting time. You're moving quickly between warm-up sets, and then you're doing the working sets with an appropriate rest period. Then the second superset is, again, going to take about 25 to 30 minutes. So in total, the whole workout will take about an hour to an hour and 15 minutes. So about 60 to 75 minutes. Will it take longer if you piss around and don't hold still to these times that I'm telling you? Yes. So I've had people go into the gym and they'll take like a workout that I wrote for them and they'll say, well, this took 2.5 hours. And I'm like, no, you jackass. You sat around for 15 minutes bullshitting with somebody while you're doing unnecessary stretches and movements that I didn't tell you to do. You then dicked around between your sets and you weren't paying attention to what you actually should have been doing. And you were, you know, searching on social media. And then before you left the gym, you bullshitted with somebody in the stretching section or rehab section for 15, 20 minutes. And then you want to sound like a badass, like, oh, look at me. You know, I'm taking 2.5 hours when I'm in the gym. You're an idiot because that's unnecessary. So it doesn't sound impressive as much as it sounds like you're stupid and you don't know what you're doing. So don't brag about being stupid. Let's just not be stupid. Be mindful of your time. Spending more time than you need in the gym is not badass. It's being a dumbass. If you're going to be any ass, be a bad one, not a dumb one. Okay? So, now that I have my little rant, but that is our exercise selection for the second superset. For the bench overload assistance, like the bench overload variation, we want some type of bench press that we can actually do for more weight than a regular competition style bench press. An example that we're using today is reverse band bench press. If we actually have in our gym, my dad and I built the world's only standalone reverse band bench press. Yes, that's pretty cool to say. We designed it and we built it our damn selves. We have it power coated. It's a freaking badass piece of equipment. It allows you to do reverse band benching, and it's a standalone bench press, first one in the world. So we use that all the time. So we do reverse band bench presses as a very common overload variation for our workouts. But what that does is what that represents is a form of bench press that is stronger than I can normally do. Another example, if you don't have the only bench press in the world to your disposal, is a slingshot. Mark Bell makes a device called a slingshot that slides over your arms that helps you kind of use heavier weight. But that's what we're looking for, is a bench overload. You're going to do the 3 sets of 3 to 5 reps followed by the 1 set of 6 to 10 reps, the same set rep scheme that we use for the heavy squats. You're going to be pairing that, like we said, with an upper back underloaded variation. A variation of an upper back exercise that you can do, but you can't use as much weight as other variations. So it's kind of like a weak variation of an upper back exercise. A great example of this is seal rows, dumbbell seal rows or barbell seal rows. We have a machine chest supported row in our gym. It's made by Nebula, old school, freaking badass piece of equipment. Has adjustable hand widths, adjustable hand angles, adjustable everything. It's freaking awesome. So it allows us to do seal rows without some kind of crazy ass setup or limitation in range of motion. But that is an example of a back exercise you can't do a lot of weight on because it restricts your movement and restricts your position. So you can kick the shit out of your back, but it doesn't kick the shit out of you, kind of thing. So that's workout number one. Is we do movement preparation. We do squat, a heavy squat variation, supersetted with an underloaded deadlift variation. Our examples were a barbell competition squat and a barbell snatch grip hanging RDL. Then you do a superset of a bench overload variation with an upper back underload variation. Our examples were reverse band bench press and machine chest supported rows or seal rows. Okay? We said the sets and rep schemes for the first exercise of the supersets is 3 sets of 3 to 5 reps followed by 1 set of 6 to 10 reps. The set and rep scheme for the second exercise of the supersets is 3 sets of 6 to 8 reps, followed by 1 set of 8 to 12 reps. That is workout one. Freaking awesome workout. It's going to kick your ass. Hope you enjoy it. Then, the second workout of the week, you still do the movement preparation. You do movement preparation specific to what you're doing that day, so it might need to be a different routine every time you work out. The first superset this time is a heavy deadlift variation and then a squat underloaded variation. So we're flipping those two. So we're going to make the deadlift heavy and the squat underloaded. Competition of a heavy example of a heavy deadlift is just a competition deadlift. An example of an underloaded squat would be a camber bar pause squat. Awesome thing about camber bar is it releases stress in the lower back. So since you're already going to be doing a deadlift, with which can stress your lower back, it's better to pick a squat variation that does not cause lower back stress. It's going to make your legs fatigued, yes, which will negatively impact your deadlift. But when you get ready for a competition and you back off on the volume work and you peak right before a meet, you're going to be strong as shit. You're going to think I'm a freaking genius. So that's going to be our examples of the exercises for the first superset of the second workout. Heavy deadlift and an underloaded squat. Sets and reps are going to stay the same. The first exercise is done for 3 sets of 3 to 5 reps, then 1 set of 6 to 10 reps. The second exercise is done for 3 sets of 6 to 8 reps, followed by 1 set of 8 to 12 reps. Again, 3 to 5 minute rest periods. So we're using a very repeatable workout structure, but we are changing the exercise selection. Rather than changing the sets and reps of everything and making it insanely complicated, we can change the overload or the load stress. We can use the underload, normal load, and overload variations as a form of creating change of stress rather than changing the sets and reps. So rather than doing high reps to try to reduce stress, we'll just pick a less stressful movement. So much easier because the whole damn workout structure can stay the same. You're just swapping out exercises. So much easier. It also allows for more personalization. If you need more hamstring work, you can pick an exercise that has more hamstring work, but you don't have to figure out how to change the sets and reps because there's no need to. So it's a great workout structure. You just plug and play what exercises you want based on your needs. The second superset of the second workout is an underloaded bench variation and kind of a medium-loaded upper back exercise. So an example of an underloaded bench press is banded bench from the bottom. So rather than reverse banding, we just band from the bottom. Again, it's still 3 sets, 3 to 5 reps, 1 set, 6 to 10 reps. An example of a medium upper back work exercise is a cable seated row. And I'll explain what an aggressive upper back exercise would be here in a second. But an example of a medium upper back exercise would be a seated row. And I would pick more of a row than I would a pull-up or pull-down. Because he just has more carryover powerlifting. Pull-up and pull-downs would be totally fine to do. But out of all your back exercises, I would pick 2 rows to every one time I did a pull-up or pull-down. Okay? Then, the sets and reps of that is, like we said, the exact same. So, workout 2, the exercise selections, like we said, was the first superset is the heavy deadlift and an underloaded squat. The second superset is an underloaded bench press and a medium-loaded back, upper back. Third workout we have now, we're going to switch and have the bench press first because it's going to be the main focus. So after movement preparation, the first superset is a heavy bench press with a heavy upper back. The example of a heavy bench press we selected is a barbell competition bench press. The example of a heavy upper back we selected was a barbell bent over rows. That's heavy as shit, very hard on the upper back, great workout for a really high stimulus for the upper back. The sets and reps, same. Okay, so the heavy lift is still done for 3 sets of 3 to 5 reps, 1 set of 6 to 10 reps. The second lift of the superset is performed for 3 sets of 6 to 8 reps, 1 set of 8 to 12 reps. The second superset of the third workout now is the lower body stuff, but we do an underloaded deadlift and an underloaded squat. They are actually going to be done for the 3 sets of 6 to 8 reps and 1 set of 8 to 12 rep range. So in this superset, it's the only superset that doesn't have something done for 3 sets of 3 to 5 reps. Okay? So this is a little bit of deviation from the previous 2 workouts, so we have to be aware of what I'm saying right now. Is the second superset of the third workout, we're choosing an underloaded deadlift and an underloaded squat. For both movements, we're going to do 3 sets of 6 to 8 reps, followed by 1 set of 8 to 12 reps. Some examples we have for an underloaded deadlift is a barbell deficit eggshell deadlift. If you don't know what this is, just YouTube that name and you'll see our video of it. Barbell deficit eggshell deadlift. An example of an underloaded squat, it could be like a safety squat bar pause squats. Since you already benched heavy that day, it would be a good choice to do a squat that doesn't require external rotation of the shoulders to hold onto a bar. That's why we're using the safety squat bar. Okay, So those are your examples. Like, that's three workouts a week, and that is enough volume, I promise. You'll know what I mean by this. That's plenty of volume to get a shit ton of muscle damage, to get a shit ton of strength. And then staying with the 3 to 5 minute rest periods, staying with those higher rep ending sets. So like we said, the main work is typically done for 3 sets of 3 to 5 reps, followed by 1 set of 6 to 10. Make sure you always keep those 1 sets, because that's where you get a lot of volume, a lot of cardiovascular stimulus. Okay? So that's it. So the person wondered if what they were asking was too much for one podcast. I'm going to be finishing up a smidge over 30 minutes, but that's a lot of information covered in 30 minutes. So this is a program that we can use to do powerlifting and fat loss at the exact same time. It has enough work to be strong. It has enough work for muscle growth and shape. It has enough work for cardiovascular stress and stimulus. Okay? And, like I said, the workout should take about an hour to an hour and 15 minutes. Maybe the first time you ever do them, they might take a little bit longer because you're kind of learning the process. But after the first 2 to 4 weeks, you'll understand the process. You'll zip through these pretty quick. I know because I've done them myself, and I've given this format in various ways to past clients. So I know it works. That's why I can seem cocky and arrogant sometimes, is because I know it's going to work because I've seen it work hundreds of times. So, blah. So easy to know. But hopefully that was helpful. Again, if you want the template, just shoot us an email at brutalirongym@gmail.com. We'll send you the template. Again, it's not super detailed as much as we would for regular clients, but it's definitely enough to get you started and get you going. So thank you to the person who sent in this question. Again, it is extremely meaningful when people ask questions and kind of participate. So thank you very, very much to those who do. Okay. If you think this podcast is helpful in any way, please share it. The more times we share the podcast, the more people learn about it, the more people we can help. So thank you to those who share the podcast. It means a lot. Also, if you like this information, you can find more from us on our social media channels of Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter under the name Brutal Iron Gym. If you have any questions, feedback, or suggestions like this person did, we would love to hear from you. The podcast is for you, so we want to know what you want to learn about. And you can tell us at our email, brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.